12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello, I'm Wes Otis, and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 5. This is our Call of Cthulhu actual play. I am here with some wonderful players. Let's start with Mac.
Hey, y'all. I am Mac, and I am playing Lenore Von Mori, also known as Cass Richardson, and also sometimes just simply The Vamp.
Hello, hello. I am Sam Starr. I use she, they, and the occasional fae pronouns. And today I'm playing Imani DuVoe, who uses she, her.
Hey, I'm Michelle Otis, and I am playing Belle Bellington, not-so-nice person.
Hello, I'm Candace, also known as Candace Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and I am playing Ebony Belafonte, whose pronouns are she, her.
Hey, I'm Lev, I use they, them pronouns, and today I'm playing Roberta Robbie Sirius, they, she pronouns, a new little writer about town.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right, so let's get into a recap real quick. The last time we got together, basically you had all gotten together at Lenny's across the street after rehearsing some of the scripts that Robbie had written, and you were all basically sitting around and talking when Robbie suddenly got informed by Penelope that there was a problem at their apartment, and Penelope agreed to drive Robbie over. Before all of that, though, you all had these very violent dreams, almost like you were in some kind of war zone where you're battling people, just unknown people, except for Belle and Lenore, who were actually fighting each other. And when Robbie was woken, she was woken by the gangster who doesn't really speak. And he's all like, you're having someone else's dreams. And it kind of freaked them out. And then he just kind of left and left that just hanging there. Also, Evie tried this new cosmetic lotion on her face and showed up to work glowing, and everybody reacting to this sudden aura of youth around her. That kind of went into finding out whether or not Imani was a fan or would find this as a threat. And from what we have seen so far, she has found it as a fan. She is taking advice from Evie as much as possible, and they're kind of eating lunch together. Meanwhile, Lenore has told Danny about her plan to get married to Henri to be able to keep Belle from letting the world know that he is gay and trying to save their careers at this point. So those are the broad strokes. We left with Robbie and Penelope showing up at Robbie's place. The landlord was downstairs, said, I'm really sorry, I had to open the door. There was water streaming down the stairs. You went up and you looked inside and there was water damage everywhere and the smell of seawater. And that's where we're picking up. You walk in and a lot of your books are damaged. Your desk seems to be, you know, you had a bunch of papers on it. They're all wet and stuck together. Everything looks like it just recently happened.
Robbie's just going to start opening the one window in their apartment to start getting air circulating in and spreading out their papers on any kind of dry surface they can find so that maybe the like warm circulating air from the outside will start drying things off and like peeling them apart, seeing what's legible still, seeing what's not, pulling out books. I don't think they're even thinking about the source of it right now. I think it's just my books, my, like, all of my writing.
Penelope starts helping you, and you two are kind of going through all of your stuff. It's going to take a while to clean this up, definitely. And the landlady finally comes in after about 5 or 10 minutes and goes, obviously, the only thing I can imagine happening is that the water backed up somehow. I don't know how this happened, but we're going to have to clean it up and fix it. You know, I don't know if it's okay for you to sleep here.
I can see that. Everything is very wet.
We'll cover the cost of cleaning it. We'll get it all cleaned up for you. And Penelope turns to you and goes, well, I'm leaving town later tonight for my grandmother's funeral, and I'm going to be gone for a week.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's in England, so I have to go all the way back. If you want to stay at my place while I'm gone, you could babysit my cat.
That would be fantastic. Are you sure you're comfortable with a near stranger staying in your home?
Oh, I trust you. You're a good person, I can tell.
Thank you. Can I bring my fish?
Sure. Where is your fish?
She should be in her bowl. Ideally, she should be in her bowl. So Robbie's going to go over to the little, like, bookshelf where they've got it kind of, like, facing the window a little bit on a wall. And there's books on the top shelf, books on the lower shelves, second to highest shelf. There's a classic fish bowl and one of those sucker fish. It's supposed to be in there.
Okay. You go over there to where the bowl should be. And the bowl is within a direct line of sight of the bathroom. And you get there and the bowl is empty and the bathroom door slowly creaks open.
Troubling. All right. There's no water in the bowl. There's nothing in the bowl.
It's just an empty bowl.
All right, Callista, where did you go? And I'm going to, like, pick up my bowl and start wandering over towards the door that just opened.
Okay. You come into the bathroom and the tub is there and it's full of water and your fish is inside the water.
I think I'm not going to take my eyes off of it and I'm going to call to the landlady to bring her in.
You call a few times and the landlady doesn't respond.
I'm going to stick my head back out.
When you stick your head out, you suddenly find yourself on a large island with no vegetation at all. There is a steel pole in the center of the island. The island's maybe 200 yards across. And there's a steel pole sticking straight up into the sky. And there are about 20 to 30 people impaled on it. And they're all screaming at the same time. And there's a robed figure at the very bottom of the pole who seems to be doing some kind of ritual. Can I get a resolve check, please?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Gee, I don't know why you'd want them to do a resolve check.
Crazy. That's a 9.
Oh, okay. So we're going to jump back to you in just a little bit then.
All right.
All right. So back at the diner, after Robbie leaves, all of you are sitting there, you're eating, you're doing your thing, whatever. And Jacques Couture comes in and goes, people, it's been 35 minutes. We need to get back. I made some changes to the script. I think they're going to be fine. Robbie had to go, so we're going to roll with it. We got to get this going. So everybody, please meet me over on stage in 5 minutes. And then he scurries out. Do you all just head over there?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what was asked of me. I'm going to do it.
Ebony is slow to rise.
Okay.
Watches everyone kind of scurry like ants.
I slow my pace down.
I think when she gets there, she just bolts for the dressing room to check her makeup and check her skin just one last time.
You look wonderful.
Okay.
Even though you have a lot of confidence in the way that you looked before you used it, you can tell the difference. It's not so much that your face has changed, but that there is an energy coming from you that just is very powerful, like very youthful kind of energy.
Okay.
Okay. So you all get out to the stage and suddenly the stage doors open and this relatively tall man, Italian with olive skin and curly brown hair and brown eyes. He comes in and says, "Hello, everybody. Many of you don't know who I am, but I wanted to come in and talk with you all because we've gotten some amazing news. My name is Tony Stanelli. I am the one who invested into Cut'em Films with Danny. And I found out that we had some very exciting news about Lenore or Cass. And I wanted to come celebrate that news with you all and just say that I'm super happy with the work that you're all doing." And then he pauses when he catches that Belle is there. And he just sits there for a second and stares at Belle. And he goes, "Anyway, Lenore, are you excited? Are you ready?"
As ready as one can ever be.
"Well, I gotta say, this is gonna be big news. And I think that it's gonna help out the studio. And I think it's gonna help you out. And, you know, have you told everybody yet?"
Well, no, I just had the conversation and it didn't
seem
it
forget all that. Just tell him it's exciting.
My show is going to be national.
Yep, that's right. I can't believe it either. And it's going to put us on the map for sure. Now, it's really important that no one does anything that might mess this up." And then he looks over at Belle again for another minute. And he goes, "Okay, get back to work. You know, Lenore, congratulations. I think it's going to be great for you."
"Thank you, sir."
"I just need to speak with the press for a second." And he looks over at, waves at the gangster that never says anything and says, "You know, how's everything going, Mr. Hanete?" And he goes, "Everything's fine." And that's the most you've heard him speak. And then he walks over to Belle. And he says, "This is almost out of earshot, but you all pick up on it." And he goes, "I see my alimony checks are paying for a good wardrobe."
"Well, you know, I may as well put something of yours to good use."
"Dating anyone?"
"No."
"Thinking about marriage?"
"Just me, myself, and I right now." "You wish."
"Yeah, I do kind of wish. I just want to know how long I get, you know, taken advantage of by you."
"Taken advantage of? Well, I was in a lifestyle I was accustomed to, and you know, you can't just drop me having access to that kind of money."
"You dropped me. You wanted the divorce, not the other way around. I'm a good Catholic."
"Well, sort of good."
"Okay, it was one time, all right? It was Vegas. It's no big deal. You got bent out of shape over nothing."
"One time, and another time, and another time. And those are the ones I knew about."
"Yeah, but you sure did get used to the lifestyle."
"I did, but after a while, it was more than I could deal with because, contrary to popular belief, I do have some feelings, and I did have them for you. But now, you know, all I care about is your money."
"Obviously, you keep cashing the checks. What are you doing here?"
"My job."
"Okay, look, I know for a fact that you jacked up Evie a while back. And so are you here to mess with her more, or who are you messing with?"
"Well, I could say I'm not messing with anyone in particular, but I kind of am. I'm kind of going to mess with everybody because that's what I do. That's how it sells papers."
"Well, if you like your checks being so fat, then you may not want to mess with my businesses."
"Oh, it won't hurt Cut'em. Not in the least. And you know that. You know this business is insulated."
"So why are you here right now? Is there a reason for you to be here?"
"If I'm going to be honest with you, my editor wanted something. And this is the place where I have the easiest access."
"I see."
"And the fact of the matter is, I mean, he wanted me to cover all that commie crap. And I don't want to do it."
"Would that commie crap get you out of my hair?"
"You wish."
"All right. Don't mess up any of my people. Just leave them alone, all right? We got important work to do."
"Yeah, important."
He walks off with a look on his face of just anger, and he can't do anything about it.
I just blow him a kiss.
Okay. So, Robbie, you're on this little island. Like I said, no vegetation, no nothing, out in the middle of the ocean. with this big steel pole with a bunch of people impaled on the pole, screaming to be either let loose or just for it to end. And there's a man or something in a robe in front of the pole, and it seems to be doing some kind of ritual. It's speaking out these long sentences of words, and there's this aura going around him as he's doing it. What do you want to do?
Robbie, I think, is going to do like a full 360 to make sure that like they can't step back into the bathroom.
You turn around and there's just ocean behind you. It's this weird fluorescent green color, and the sky is lit up, but there's no sun or moon.
Oh, okay. Okay. And I think Robbie's gonna like, man, not knowing really what's going on, but seeing people impaled on a post and a person standing in front of it not doing anything, I think Robbie's just gonna like hurl the fishbowl at him.
Okay, I believe there is a throw skill, so let's do that.
There is.
Do you want to spend some luck?
Oh, that's right. I can do this in this game. This isn't Delta Green. Fuck yeah. Hell yes. I've played Delta Green too much. We just get fucked all the time. Yes, I'm going to spend 3 luck and go down to 57 luck so I can get to 20 and I can hit this motherfucker with a fishbowl.
I love how excited you got. That was so perfect. Like, wait, I don't have to get bent. This is amazing!
Delta Green's really screwed up my sense of survivability, gang.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, Call of Cthulhu's bad enough, but Delta Green is just very nihilistic.
Delta Green's just like, you're gonna die. Good luck.
So roll me a 4-sided die for damage, and we'll go from there.
Pew! 2.
Okay, so you hit this thing in the back of the head, and it turns around, and it maybe once was human, but now it looks like a skull that has skin that is slowly melting off of it. Its eyes are hollow. There's no eyeballs at all. Its mouth is agape and hanging, and you hear words coming out of its throat, but it doesn't have a tongue or anything. And its skin is kind of draped on it, like you realize that the cloak is actually skin. It's not actual fabric. Can I get a resolve check, please?
For sure. That's a 53. That's a success.
Okay, cool.
I think Robbie makes that save, but also thinks they're going to start yelling like something like, get away from them. What are you doing? You're hurting these people. Robbie thinks they're going to start saying something useful, but all that comes out is just a scream.
It starts to lope towards you slowly, and it says,
close, come closer, closer.
No.
Robbie, come closer. Robbie, come closer. Robbie, wake up,
Robbie. Wake up. Wait, Robbie, are you okay? Robbie, wake up. And suddenly you wake up.
Robbie's flailing and screaming.
You wake up in the bathroom. Your fishbowl is back on the counter with the fish in it, and Penelope is over you. Are you okay?
What?
You collapsed.
There's skin, bone, skin. Oh, those people, those poor people. And I think Robbie's gonna like reach out for like her like torso and just like no concept of like this isn't socially acceptable. Just like patting her like lower abdomen. Like, you don't have a hole in you.
No, I'm okay. Everybody's fine. No one's. Did you say impaled? No, sweetie. Everybody's fine. You fell over.
Bad dream.
Well, let's get you out of here then. And
I didn't sleep. I slept, but I didn't sleep. And there was another dream, and this one's worse. And I think Robbie's just gonna like shakily cradle the fishbowl with Callisto in it. And like, will you walk with me to get my things, please?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let's get all of your stuff together and we can, I'll take you over to my place and you can you can relax there. But...
Wait, I gotta go back to the studio. We're supposed to be shooting. I have to write more pages.
They've got plenty of pages to work with. They're not starting to shoot for 2 days. I think you need to get some real sleep.
Okay. How do I... Okay.
Let's get your stuff together, okay?
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I yelled in your face. Did I hit you?
No, you didn't. You glanced, but it's okay.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. It's as long as you're okay. I'm more worried about you. Don't worry about me. I'm good.
Okay.
All right. So, we'll get back to you in a little bit. Evie, you are in your trailer. You are looking at yourself in the mirror, and everything looks great. And I don't know if it's crossed your mind as a player, Candace, but Evie definitely gets this little bolt in her brain. Maybe I should see if I can get a job at a bigger studio.
It has crossed Evie's mind. It's only been one day, and she is not a trusting person. So she's kind of biding her time. She's in early planning stages. Like, she has a small notepad that she keeps in her clutch that has a list of big, bigger, biggest with different studio names underneath. The biggest has a lot of places that she couldn't get in before because she was too green, especially when she was like right into talkies, like right around the time that Silent Films ended. So she's trying to kind of contain that energy instead of just rushing in, because she knows she's good. She knows she's beautiful, but she doesn't know if this has an expiration date.
Completely fair. What I'd like to do now is you all rehearse, unless anybody has anything that they want to do in particular, but you all are going to be rehearsing and running through lines and doing stuff. I would like to jump forward to later that afternoon. Most of you have gone home. Imani, you have stayed back because you're going to do your first shoot with the night crew. And Lenore, you are done rehearsing your lines. You have about 2 hours till you do your show. Now, up until this point, your show has been on more regionally, not nationwide. And you're kind of going over the entire set. You put your hand on a surface, just absentmindedly. You put your hand on a surface and you turn it around and it's bright red.
I rub at it with my other hand gently and...
Feels like blood.
I look at the surface.
There's a box sitting there on your set. It looks like an old chest that is just some prop. And this is while all of these set decorators and everybody else are around doing all this work, getting ready to do the shoot. And you're in full Lenore mode. You're not in evil doctor mode.
Yes. The red was from my hand on the chest.
When you touched the chest, you picked up blood.
Does the chest look like it's covered in blood, or is it just on my hand?
It looks like it's just on your hand.
I'm going to very gingerly go to the latch on the chest and try opening it.
It opens up easily.
Is there anything inside of it?
You open up the top, and inside of it is a skinless person. Their head's not attached to their body, and their face is pointing up. And it opens its eyelids, and it says, "They're all going to find out." Can I get a resolve check, please?
Sure. I got a 40 under my 50, so I have a lot of resolve.
What do you do?
I think she's sort of processing. Is this the craziest prop that has ever propped before? Does it look like it's 100% real? I don't know what a skinned body would look like necessarily. Like, Lenore might not really know.
It looks 100% real. Yeah, it just looks like blood and muscle tissue wrapped around bone, basically. But it looks very real. And there seems to be like a bloody mist around you.
Well, I slam the chest shut and I holler out, "Who put this here?"
One of the set decorators comes up and goes, "That's always been there. What's wrong? What happened?"
There's something wrong with it. Can you take a look?
Sure. Opens it up, and there's a bunch of old blankets in there. It looks cool. Do you not like it? Do you want us to remove it?
I look back at my hand. Is there still blood on it?
No.
Oh, no, it's fine. I thought I saw something and I clearly didn't. You know how it is. I've watched so many horror movies.
Oh, you've been working all day, hon. Do you need water or something? You're in that outfit. Do you need to sit down?
No. I think I'm going to go to my dressing room for a moment and collect myself.
Okay. Well, let us know if you need anything.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. So you get back to your dressing room. Do you do anything in particular?
I definitely look at my hand again.
Still a hand. No blood.
And I think it's one of those, like, things where you just sit in front of the mirror and you kind of stare at your own face. She's trying to give herself a pep talk. It's just stress. It's about everything that's going on with Henri and that bitch of a reporter. It's fine. Just going to do the show and then I can go home. And basically it's just kind of doing that until she gets called to set.
Okay. So as you're sitting there doing this mantra, there's a knock on your trailer door. Evermore, sorry. Sorry, I couldn't help it. The door opens and it's Danny and Tony. Tony kind of looks at you for a second, goes, so I found out why Belle was actually here today.
Oh, and like you can see Lenore kind of like gear shift to being more like stage persona.
Okay. He goes, if you get married, that might hurt the show.
I don't see how my marriage would have any impact on the show.
Because the guys who are watching the show, if you're dating somebody, they think they have a chance. They don't, but they think they have a chance. It's in their mind somewhere. But when you get married, you're off limits.
Oh, I see what you're saying. My looks are a commodity, and the only reason that people watch the show. Is that it?
Partially. It is the entertainment industry.
Surely people will still tune in and want to watch. There's got to be an audience for the show regardless of whether or not I'm available and have a ring on my finger.
Is this what you really want to do, or is this what Belle's putting you through, though?
And Lenore takes like a really big pause. I will say that Belle is definitely making things more difficult in this area. And while it is not entirely her doing, she's certainly putting on undue pressure.
All right. Well, she's known to do that. Look, you're a talented kid, and I think that you're going to do really well. But you do have to understand that this business is about optics. It's about what people see, what they think, how they feel. I'm not saying that you can't get married or anything like that. I'm saying that if you're being pushed into it, then we need to figure out a way to get you out of it.
Do you have a proposal in that arena? You certainly know Belle.
Unfortunately, I do. I think the woman would eat her own babies if she had any. I'll have to think on it. When are you going to make the announcement?
Relatively soon. However, if Belle was not on my back, things could be prolonged or an engagement could happen and the potential for time needed for planning and all of that could stretch on.
All right. Well, Danny's going to keep you updated. I will see what I can do. Even if you announce, it gives us a year to figure something out because you can prolong it and you can be engaged for a very long time. Anyway, good luck with the show. Language walks out and Danny says, I'm sorry, but I had to tell him he was pressing on why Belle was here. I didn't tell him anything else but that you're announcing a marriage, all right?
I understand. Much as I wish I didn't understand, I understand.
All right. Have a good show. And he walks out.
And it's like all that Lenore can do to not just throw a absolute temper tantrum.
Absolutely. All right. Your show goes by. Lenore, you know the night shoots that go on at Cut'em. You're not a part of them, but you're plugged into, you know, the Shack, which has a lot of performers and stuff that do these kind of things. So on your way out, you notice, you're not close to Amani, but you notice that Amani's there and she's talking with Vivian, who runs the show. And as you're leaving, Amani, Vivian's standing before you. She's about maybe 5'1", in a nice dress, just a little heavier, dark hair, like almost black hair, brown skin with green eyes. And she says to you, Danny spoke to me, said you were interested. Have you ever done this sort of thing before? Like photography-wise?
Well, I mean, I took a couple. I was Miss Bayou Queen of 1947 and 1948, but that's pretty much, yeah, nothing like this, at least outside of the own privacy of my own boudoir.
Okay, so you know, like, being tied up and all of the spanking and all that stuff.
Indeed.
Okay, so here's how we do things. There are actors who don't mind their faces being taken.
Mm-hmm.
And there are actors that do. I've been told that you're an actor who would like to keep themselves hidden as best as possible.
Correct.
So you're going to be what we call a bottom. That way you'll be draped over people's knees and all of that. Sometimes you might wear like a Mardi Gras mask kind of thing to kind of keep your face hidden. We sell the pictures and sometimes short films outside of the U.S. mostly, but also to certain organizations who are interested in these types of films.
Organizations like whom?
Well, I'm just going to say a lot of churches enjoy certain films and pictures.
Wow.
Shouldn't be that shocking, though.
Fair enough.
Humans are humans.
This is indeed true. Well, not the world's biggest fan of bottoming, but I guess I'll do what I have to.
If you're willing to wear a mask to be a top, you can do that too.
Now we're talking.
Okay. Most of the pictures are, like, all of the stuff is, I would call it pinup plus. So you're dressed up in outfits, always with other women. For some reason, if it's with other women, we tend not to have as much heat as we do if we have men in the photos. So we keep it an all-female crew, and it just seems to work easier. So anyway, here's a list of things that we shoot. Pick the stuff that you're willing to do, the stuff you don't want to do, and we'll get going.
Fair enough. She'll go over the list and, like, quickly go over it, scribble out a couple of things, add a few notes, like, fine, but only on this type of, like, and
right.
Specify, yeah. But the things that are, like, completely scribbled out, if it's, like, a list of maybe 25 things, there's about 3 things that are completely scribbled out. Everything else is either on the board or has a certain note to it.
Most of the stuff would be considered relatively tame compared to what somebody would be writing out in modern times, I would imagine. You know,
fair. It's, yeah,
if you're
for
looking,
sure.
If you think of like the Betty Page pictures from that era, that's kind of where the ballpark is. So as you're going through all of this, you get one of the assistants comes over and says, oh, you have a phone call, somebody from a Rose.
I'll take that just a moment. Thank you.
Okay. So you get on the phone and Rose is like,
I know you said you were going late, but it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. When are you coming home?
I'll be home when I'm done with work, Rose. Please don't call at the studio again. I said we run late.
I know. I just wanted to see you.
You will when I get home.
Yeah, at some point.
Good night, Rose. I'll wake you up when I come in.
Okay. Good night.
Hangs up the phone.
Okay. That's not going to go bad at all.
You fuck somebody like 6-7 times and now all of a sudden they have shit to say about where you're at and want to know why you're not home. And blah, 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 blah.
On and on. It's terrible. All right. So we're going to say you do your first shoot. We're going to flip kind of back in time a little bit to Penelope driving Robbie over to her place. And Penelope says, look, we need to talk about where I live. I'm a little ashamed of it. And you're noticing the area that you're in starts to get a little bit more upscale and a little bit more upscale. And she goes, my parents are in New York. And when I moved out here, they bought a house. They didn't live out here. They just bought me a house so that I had a place to live. And it's a little much.
Okay. Are you embarrassed that they bought you a house, or are you embarrassed that it's big? Because that seems very kind of parents. You know, they want to support their kids.
I'm embarrassed of both of those things. It's a little much. And you pass a sign that says Brentwood.
Oh, we're in Brentwood. Okay.
And you turn a corner and there's this mansion with this lawn that's well maintained. Her car is not fancy. She drives up and a man comes from the front over, opens the door for her and says, Miss Wright, it's nice to see you. Oh, we're having company tonight. You did not tell me. And she goes, Adam, I know. I understand. Bends over and says, usually we use last names. Penelope goes, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. We're going to stick with first names. This is my friend Robbie. Robbie's going to stay here while I go back to the funeral. Okay.
Hello.
Oh, we'll get the guest room set up.
I don't need anything. Honestly, I can sleep on a couch.
No, we must make sure everything is perfect. And then he whirls around and goes back in the house. And she slowly turns to you and goes, yeah, see, that's the embarrassment part.
Why is he here? Why can't you get rid of him?
My parents hired him.
Are you in trouble?
How are your parents? Like, when you interact with your parents, are they overbearing at all?
In what way?
They tell you what to do and they try to live your life.
No.
So English people have a lot of traditions, and the higher up you are in that...
Are you a royal? Are you a princess?
I'm not a royal. Not a royal. My grandmother was. Anyway, come in.
Okay. Why can't... But it's your life is the thing, and you have a job, and you make your own money, so you should just tell them no.
Yeah. I wish I had your strength for that, but I...
Here, practice with me. Tell me no. Say, hey, I want you to do a backflip on the front lawn, and because I'm in charge of you, and it's your life is my life. Do it.
She goes, I really...
Yes, you can.
I really can't.
Do it. Do it now.
Do a backflip.
Do it. And Robbie starts, like, trying to transition into a British accent that's really bad.
She kind of stops for a second, goes, don't do that.
That was fantastic. Yes, very good.
Hey, I did it. I said no to something.
Now just do that with other people.
Maybe after the funeral, I'll tell him that I want a regular apartment and not this.
That's maybe a good idea. Or, honestly, maybe you can just get your own apartment and then you don't have to tell them. And then
maybe.
And then you can have the best of both worlds and you can be like, oh, yes, Mr. Face, you guy.
No, don't do the accent. Don't.
Sorry. That dude, what's his name? Benjamin?
Adam.
Not even close.
No, Adam's a nice guy. He's just very...
I don't think we're going to get along.
Well, he'll stay out of your way. I'll tell him to stay out of your way.
Okay. Thank you again. This is very kind of you. Why are you being nice to me? This is too... Why?
Because you're a good person. You needed help.
You don't know that. You barely know me.
I mean, I've watched you write, and I've read some of your script, and I think it's good, and I think it's a good story. And, you know, you seem genuine. I can't say that for everybody else, but you seem genuine.
That's a very nice...
You're like Lenore.
Yes.
Lenore seems genuine, too. I don't know Evie yet, and I don't know Amane, and I don't want to know Belle.
That's a scary lady.
Yeah, she's a scary lady.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
No problem. Let's go inside. So you walk in, and there are all of these pictures of look-like 18th century people, and then large bookcases that have been padlocked. And then off to the side, down one hallway, you see a door that doesn't look like it's with the rest of the house. It's this big oak door with a huge lock on it. And then the other side of the house has the regular dining room and everything else. And the first thing that hits you is this is a single woman, no kids, no nothing, in a huge house. It doesn't quite makes sense to you.
I think Robbie just stops in the middle of the entranceway and points at the door and just waits until Penelope turns around.
Suddenly you feel like black cat pushes up against your leg.
Hello, what's your name?
Penelope turns around and goes, that's Easter, and that's where we're going to end this show. So thank you
now
all so much.
Now I'm scared of Easter. I'm like, yes, a little holiday name. Now we're at, that's scary. Now it's scary.
So thank you all so much. I had a great time. I hope you all had a great time. Let's find out where all these amazing people are. Let's start with Candace.
Hello, everyone. I am Candace. I have been Ebony Belafonte. You can find me at that Candace Girl on Twitter, at Candace Marie on Blue Sky. And yeah, you can hear more of me on Bloom and Blight over at any podcatcher, as well as on Bookhound Bounty Hunters, the 12-Sided Stories, Sword of the Serpentine podcast.
Hey, y'all. I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me everywhere as at Strange Like That, Twitter, or whatever it is now, Instagram, Facebook, my website, and scrawled in Eldritch runes under your bed.
Hi, I'm Lev. You can usually find me on Twitter at LegoM2, the number 2RS, because I don't have the emotional energy to go anywhere else. You can usually hear my silly little voice doing silly little things with silly little friends on Mayday Roleplay. And I say silly, but usually it's very scary. We're coming back with our Delta Green campaign, which is so stressful. And we're getting back into the Orpheus system in the coming weeks, which is exciting. So if you like ghosts and sad people, come hang out. And gay shit, that too. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. You can also find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Sam Starr, and you can find me all over the internet at the exact same at Lust for Life X. And you can see me all over the internet doing lots of queer trans gay shit over on Transplanner Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm snapping like you can see me. I'm so used to that's it for me.
We all do it. We totally do it. And I'm Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on most places now. You can also find the show as 12-Sided Stories. It's usually the number 12 in Sided Stories, unless it's our own website, which is 12sidedstoriesallwrittenout.com, where you can find all the links to all our different shows. Definitely check out our back catalog. We have a lot of great stuff. If you want to help out the show, you can join us on Patreon or on Ko-fi, give us a shout out on your favorite social media, or give us a review on your favorite platform, or join us on Discord. We'd love to hear from you, see what you're thinking, and talk about games and all that good stuff. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time with more Otherworld Hollywood. Bye.